Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. I'll read verse 1. You read verse 2 with me. Psalm 78. You know, I don't say this a whole lot, but we read from the King James Bible, and I think this applies to everybody here, but if somebody didn't have a King James Bible, we wouldn't want them reading with us because it would cause confusion. But if you knew somebody next to you didn't have a King James Bible, I'd hope you'd offer them yours. Amen? Okay, so you want to do that. But here we go, Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. I'll read verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for church. Thank you for getting to be with your people because of what you do, Lord, and all that you've done for us. Please control my mind this morning, Lord. Work, please, Lord, work through me, Lord, so your word preached can be used in our lives. May we properly prepare for what you want to do in each life here. Strengthen us and help us, please, in this short time that we have. Bless your word to our hearts, and may we love you more because of what we learn. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit down there, keep your Bibles open at Psalm 78. There are so many changes in our world right now, things that none of us are used to, thought processes. Things, changes, and I examine the world. In Germany, they're taking children from parents who won't get the vaccination. I'm going to go through some of the changes. The way they're telling society now has to be structured. So we're watching a lot of changes take place. And I don't know who this message is going to help more this morning. I know it's helped me. I needed this message, and I may be preaching to myself this morning. But amidst all the changes and all the things that we're not used to, how do you keep your mind set? How do you keep focused on what we're supposed to be doing as a child of God? And see, I've only served God in B.C., before COVID, America, okay? I've never served God like this. For instance, I think this is weird. Hey, we're going soul winning again this Saturday. Really? How come you didn't go last Saturday, ding dong? Well, because I'm not used to thinking that way. You understand? That's a change for me. Hey, how about this? Remember 3 weeks ago? Hey, let's have church. Really? How come you weren't having church? Well, because it's AC. America now. We're after COVID. This is different. So I'm dealing with a lot of changes. And the more you try to figure out what's going on, the more confused you get. For instance, if you take I'm not for what the police did to that Floyd person. I thought it was there's too many weird stuff that needs to be mentioned. For instance, the police officer that killed him and him served as bouncers in a bar together. Really? So he knew the guy. This wasn't like... Then second of all, it looked more like every police officer you talk to says you're not supposed to do that. Every police officer. Police officers I've talked to in the parking lot. Hey, when you go to arrest a guy and stuff, I heard Brother Garland saying, when you go to arrest a guy, you ever put your knee on his neck? No, that is everybody knows that's death. I'm bringing this up right now because I think there's some things that need to be brought out. I'm just going to give you some thoughts. I have a tendency to think that was a setup. It was an execution. And it was set to trigger riots. How come five of those arrested in Minneapolis were from out of state? Because they're busing rioters in, Antifa. There's people that want to peaceably protest, and then there's people that are rioting and looting. That needs to be brought out. I don't think everybody that's protesting is a rioter. I think it's weird what's happening in America. This was done to trigger unrest. This was not done... Okay, let me say it again. I think the police officer that did the murder was... I think he ought to be executed, okay? He did an execution. I think he ought to... Okay, that's just pastor thinking, okay? It was wrong what he did. But this was all... There's too much stuff that's being set up in our country. There's too much... It's like... They're funding, they're sending people in buses to the protests to riot and loot and burn and steal. Setting a police officer's car on fire? That's going to fix something? Look, if I put myself in that situation, if one of my family members was harmed and the courts ruled in favor of the person that did the harm to my family and we left court, I wouldn't riot and burn anything down. I'm not going to tell you I wouldn't go after the person that hurt my family. That's just the dad in me. Amen. But I wouldn't riot and burn something down. What does that fix? It adds to chaos. You understand? And unrest. So I think there's a lot of weird things. And like I said, the more you look into things, the more confused you get. Because nothing is normal right now. I don't care if you want to take the riots. I don't care if you want to take the virus. I don't care if you want to take the structuring of America. Nothing is normal. I have to have a foundation that doesn't change. And the only thing that doesn't change in my life is that book. Amen. The only security I have is not in this world. It's in God's Word. Amen. Now, the most important thing I can try to figure out then this morning, since I can't figure out everything that's going on in the world, nor will I do need to pay attention to the condition of my heart towards God. You say, why? Because God says in Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If I can keep my heart right towards God and put God first, my life can be stable. Focus on my relationship with God. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things that which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Proverbs 23:19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Psalm 139, 23, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Proverbs 22:5, final verse, just listen. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. So when I don't have answers, if you ask me, we could all speculate. We could all go out to eat today after church and talk about the problems. But we will solve none of them. We will solve zero. But what I can do while we meet together is focus on the Bible and say, why don't I pay attention to me and my relationship with God? And let me make sure that in these turbulent, perilous, troublesome times, my heart is right. And I, what can I do to get close to God? Now, in our text, Psalm 78, I'm going to read this and I'm going to point out some obvious truths. My text verse is verse 7, okay? But watch this. As you read Psalm 78, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old that tells me this. I've told you before, you're not supposed to read your Bible like a newspaper. Dark sayings. God wants you thinking and meditating when you read His Word. What is God saying to me? What does that mean? When you come across a word that you don't know the definition to, look it up in a dictionary. Think. Dark sayings of old. God says there's far more to God's Word than what meets the eye. And you're not going to casually read it and get anything out of it. It takes concentration. You can't have the TV going and texting and all of that. Shut the world off and focus on the Bible when you're reading it. Or you will, it will just be another reading. You won't get anything out of it. When you read Psalm 78, it's a long psalm. It's a good psalm. But the first thing you're going to come to the conclusion to is God did right and they did wrong. And God blessed them and they turned their back on God. And you know what the first thing you learn as you read Psalm 78 is? That God's faithful when His people aren't. Amen. And even though they hardened their necks and would not obey God, God still blessed them, God still fed them, God still took care of them. And that's the first thing you'll get from Psalm 78. I think as if you read, you had a piece of paper and you were taking notes as you went through Psalm 78, let me point out something else. Look at verse 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come three things: the praises of the Lord, and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. Three things that the next verse says, for He established a testimony in Jacob. What's God's testimony? What He is to be praised for, what He has done with His strong arm, and His works. That's God's testimony. That's God's testimony, what He's done. It says in Jacob, verse 5, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Everybody get the picture? God is saying, tell your kids what I've done in your life. That's what I think one of the most important things a parent can tell the children is, Daddy, when did you get saved? And the father should be able to say, I was saved at this. I loved hearing my dad talk about his testimony. Son, we were going from Michigan down to Kansas. We stopped in St. Louis, and your great uncle, Uncle Ronnie, sat me down on the couch when you were a six-year-old boy, and he said, and he led me to Christ. My dad was saved when I was six. I asked my mom, Mom, when were you saved? When I was an 11-year-old girl, Mom took us to a revival, and I walked the aisle, and I placed my... I heard my mom's clear testimony. I've heard my dad's clear testimony. Every child should hear their parents' testimony. I know when my dad was saved. I know when my mom was saved. And God is telling the parents, tell your kids what I've done in your life. Tell your kids. Yes, they were supposed to read their Bible to the children. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Daytime, nighttime, all the time. Put it on the walls, all over your house. Deuteronomy 6. But this isn't talking about reading God's Word to the children. This is saying to teach the works of God. Why? Verse 7 tells you why. Look at verse 7. That they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. If you lose your hope, this morning, the name of the message is Faith in God's Word and Hope in God. And it sounds like the same thing, and I'm going to show you that it's not. But if you lose your hope in God, you know what kicks in afterwards? Verse 8. Look at verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And the rest of the psalm talks about God did this, but they didn't obey. God did this, but they didn't listen. God did this, and then it's just a roller coaster ride for the rest of the psalm. So I want to make sure my hope is in God. Now let me clarify something. Faith is found two times in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 32:20, they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. That's the first time it's mentioned. So in Psalm 78, if God wanted to use the word faith, he would have. But God didn't say that they might set their faith in God. It says that they might set their hope in God. God uses the word hope. And I've heard people use faith and hope kind of interchangeably. So what is faith and what is hope? They're not the same, and you can have faith without hope. And you can also have hope without faith. They're different. What are they? Faith is, first of all, a belief and a trust in what God has said in His Word. Faith is an act of the will. It's something you choose. When we give gospel tracts and knock on doors and witness to people, we're asking them, here, let me rephrase what we're telling them. Could we show you the truth of the Bible so you could choose to believe? Because that's what they're doing. Just because you show somebody the Bible doesn't mean they believe it. But could I show you the truth of the Bible so you could make the choice to believe or put your faith in what God has said? It's an act of the will with a heart. Man believeth unto righteousness, right? With a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So it's a choice. And you also need to know this about faith. So number one, it's a belief and trust in what God has said. It's an act of the will. And, with faith, faith always includes doubt. Some measure. I've heard somebody say, well, is doubt sin? Doubt isn't sin. Doubt is sin when you won't allow yourself to believe what the Bible says when the devil's throwing fiery darts of doubt at you. You choose to believe the doubt and hold to the doubt and let it freeze you instead of moving forward in what? Faith. I choose to believe the Bible. I know it's ahead of me, but I'm choosing to believe. I'm choosing to place my faith there. So, we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Faith, then, is a belief and trust in what God has said. Now, what is hope? You got to know the difference. Hope is not a wish or a want that may or may not come true. Hope is not a desire. Hope is an expectation because of what God has said and promised. Hope has no doubt. Faith can have doubt. Hope has no doubt. It's an absolute. For instance, the rapture is our blessed hope, Titus 2:13, right? We don't know when the rapture is going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. That's why it's our hope. I don't have faith in the rapture. I have hope in the rapture, right? So, there's a difference between faith and hope. Can you take your Bible and let me show you a little bit more of what I'm talking about. We'll come back to Psalm 78, but go to Philippians in your New Testament. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1. So God says, I want you to learn of what to praise me for. I want you to learn my strength. I want you to learn my works. That's why this morning's lesson in Esther is such a wonderful. God's not mentioned one time, but you see God working to preserve his people. That's the workings of God. Why? God says, because the more you see God work, the more your hope is in God. The more your hope is in God. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Ready? I've loved this verse ever since I've been saved, but watch this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Same word for hope is the word confident. If I'm confident, that means I don't doubt, I'm absolutely sure, and my hope is this. If not, let me apply Philippians 1:6. My hope is God saved me and he wants to use me. Christian, the same thing's true about you. You should be confident that because God saved your soul from a never-dying hell with his precious blood, that God has a purpose for your life, and you're not sent here on the earth to eat, sleep, and excrete until you breathe your last breath. God wants to use every person here. I can read Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 and say, my hope is because God saved me, God has something for me to do. And every child of God here can say that. There's something God made you to do and something God saved you to do that only you can do. Being confident of this very thing. Look, my purpose does not come from self-esteem. My purpose comes from my walk with God. And the closer I get with God, the more he assures my heart that he guides and helps and plans. And the further I get away from God, the less insecure, the more insecure I become. The more fearful I become. God's my security. And watch this. God is your security. Being confident of this very thing. That's an example of hope. I don't have any doubts. Now, that's Philippians 1:6. Your faith is strengthened when you read the Bible. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why for you to read the Bible is so important. For you to hear the Bible being played. We got, you know, Alexander Scorbian. You know, I read the Bible for my children in their rooms, you know, in the days of computers. You know, I'd read it and then put it in their rooms, and Daddy would read the Bible to them at night while they slept. And was it Abby that said, Mom, I don't like that man in my room at night? It wasn't? Okay. Okay. But I made the Bible, I read the Bible so my kids could hear it at night in their room on their CD players. Because the more you hear the Bible, the more your faith increases, God says. Romans 10:17. Now, you get saved by faith. You read the Bible by faith. You obey God's Word by faith. Here's the difference. You live by your hope. You live by hope. So, to the saved, born again, Bible-believing, child of God, and I'm so glad that if somebody isn't saved, it's God's will that they get saved, 1 Peter 3:9, and it's God's command that they get saved, 1 John 3:23. But if you're saved this morning, that means you have decided to place your faith in God's Word, and you've chosen to believe what God said. Now that you're saved, God wants your hope to be in Him. Psalm 78, verse 7. God says, now read my Word and look how I've worked in the lives of people and how I've helped them and what they praised me to do, and I can do the same thing for you. I know Christians that are saved by faith and they don't have hope that God will work in their life, so guess what? They're a dud. They have faith, but no hope. That their hope might be in God. I wish the world would be less chaotic so we could live a quiet and peaceable life. But my hope is not supposed to be in the world getting better. Listen to what I just said. When is this going to be done? When are we going to be... The reality as you read your Bible is that things are going to get worse before they get better. So if I'm trying to, I can't wait till we get through this virus. Can't wait till we get done with the riots. Can't wait. There's been riots before and there'll be riots afterwards. There's always some chaos. There's always some threat. My hope is not in this world getting better. If that was the case, I don't have any hope. Because it's not. Make sure your hope is in God. Make sure your hope is in that book. That book is what doesn't change. Because God has, with everything that's changing, I need to be careful this morning that my hope is not in politics or in the government or in the economy. My hope cannot be in man. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. I enjoy my freedom this morning, but if I don't have the government's consent, I'm still supposed to obey God's word and live for Him. Now, let's go back to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And let's think a little bit more on faith and hope, because God says the whole purpose of the first six verses is that our hope, God wants our hope to be in Him. And I'm going to show you how to do that, and then I'm going to ask you some, I hope, some very probing questions so that your hope can be in God. Ready? Let's just read verse 4, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 6. We will not hide them. I'm at Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That's why God's Word is not just a bunch of stories. It's the truth God wants you to know so that you can live. Well, how come it's only about the Hebrews? Because we're Gentiles, that's why. But God can work in your life just like God worked in their life. God can work. Faith is strengthened by hearing and reading the words of God. Hope is strengthened by hearing what God has done. Faith is in the principles and truths of God's Word. Hope is in a person of God and what He has done. God's testimony. Hope is me expecting God to work in my life because He's worked in what we've read in the Bible. Verse 8, I've already told you, the result of not hoping in God is rebellion and failure. This is why God wanted the children and the generation to come to know His testimony and His works. God says, I do want you to teach them my law, but tell them what I've done. Our hope is built when we learn what God did to deliver us from Egypt. How God worked in your life to save you. That's how come I like hearing each one of your testimonies. In other words, I know how you were saved. You placed your faith in Christ. But I like hearing of the build-up to when you got saved. When God was knocking the pillars of the things you thought you could trust out. Say, nope, can't trust that. Can't trust that. And I like hearing each of you talk about how God led you to get saved. That's God working in your life. Amen. But I know how you were saved. Amen. If you're saved, you're saved the same way everybody's saved. Right? But I like hearing about God's works. God brought them out with the 10 plagues in Egypt. God parted the Red Sea, one of the largest miracles in the Bible. God fed them every morning with manna and every evening with quail. For 40 years, God led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God allowed a rock to give water for 3 million people every day. Their cattle and their people. 3 million. Do you know how much water that is? Every day water came out of that rock. And it says that rock followed them. It says that rock was Christ, right? I want to see that video when we get to heaven. I really do. I want to see that. But that's what God did for them. God helped them defeat 7 nations in Canaan. Nations that were much larger and stronger than them. And when they sinned against God, He still provided for them. Now let me go to us. I already told you, our children and the next generation need to hear how we were saved because we didn't want to die and go to hell. How we saw in the Bible that we were to follow the Lord and believers' baptism after you get saved, and we obeyed. I remember that. I remember thinking I've already been baptized, and I went to church, and the deacon on the front row, I knew I'd gotten saved, and I remember the deacon said, he said, "Son, now you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism." I looked right at him and said, "I've already been baptized at age 12. He said, "Sit down here just for a second." He said, "Son, in the Bible, baptism always follows salvation. It never comes before." And he took and showed me three places. He said, "When did you say you got saved?" I said, "Well, June 7th. He said, "Then, son, you need to get baptized tonight." Very kindly, very, very lovingly. And I learned that I needed to get baptized after I got saved. And I did that. Then how we learned that going to church was a command in the Bible, so we did. How telling others about the Lord was God's will for our life, so we started doing it. Look, when I got saved, I was raised going to church once a week. We went to church Sunday morning, we went to youth group on Sunday night, and that was it. Now I get saved, and I start learning, so you have church on Sunday night too? Wednesday night? Really? Do y'all live here? I wasn't raised that way. And then, the man that would pick me up for church, I remember sitting in church, and I was just thinking, what a wonderful place. I didn't know the songs, because I dorked around as a teenager in church. Felt so ashamed, raised in church, but didn't know the songs. Thought, man, I better start paying attention. Man, I started, boy, what a wonderful place to be. But I started learning, wow, so you go to church when the doors are open? God was working in my life. I had met so many obstacles to overcome. How we learned about tithing financially. I'll never forget when my pastor said this. You should be able to take your W-2 and whatever it says you made in a year, you move the decimal point, and that's what your giving record says you gave. I went, wow, that's a lot of money. I was new. I was a young Christian. You know what I did? So I went. He said, you ought to tithe. He said, God blesses you when you give. You can't outgive God. So I got saved at age 20. I added up. I worked a paper route from age 12 on up. Then I worked Domino's. Then I worked a gas station. Then I went in the Marine Corps. Right when I got saved in the Marines, I started thinking, okay, I went and added up what I made. And I came to the conclusion, I sent a $500 check to my church from the Marine Corps. My pastor, he called, he goes, what'd you do this for? I said, I ain't been tithing. I sent back tithes. He goes, well, just so you know, he said, nobody does this. And I said, I need to. That was God working in my life. Do you understand? God was working in my life. And I need to tell people that. How we learned that drinking alcohol was a sin. So I quit drinking. That's how God worked in our life. They need to know what the Bible says. People also need to know, our children need to know, our families need to know how we applied the Bible to our lives and then lived it. I don't believe everything that's told to me, but I do check it out. And when I find out the truth of the Bible, I decide to trust what God says. That's how come we sing that song, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead." I need no other argument. I need no other... It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. My hope, my faith is in Him. My faith. Now, so you get saved by placing your faith in God's Word and the blood Jesus shed. Then you hear Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. Can you take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 2? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. So you get saved, and then you hear Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Then you hear in Isaiah, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour my Spirit upon thy seed, my blessing upon thy offspring." And you get saved by faith, but then you start hearing God wants to fill someone. God wants to use someone. God wants to work in someone's life. You mean there's more than being saved? Yeah, now that you're saved, God wants to use you. Do you want to be used by God? I remember Isaiah 44:3 being preached. God says, anybody thirsty? Anybody want God's power? If you're thirsty for it and you're willing to beg God for it like you begged for water, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's the one that gives it to you. Anybody thirsty? He'd preach that. And I was like, I'll never forget being, I can take you to the barracks. I read Revival Praying and Jack Hiles' Let's Go Soul Winning. And I remember weeping all night long because I was a powerless Christian that did not have God's power. I hadn't seen ever one person saved. I started thinking all my friends and people that God let me know, and I wept all night. I can take you to where I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God for the first time. I remember my pastor saying, anybody thirsty? God says, He'll give you water if you're thirsty. He wasn't talking about salvation. I'll give you my Spirit if you're thirsty. God wants to use you. Ephesians 2:8, ready? I know we know verse 8 and 9, but watch this. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So you get saved by faith, but then you start learning God created you to do a work for Him. Are you doing it? Well, I came to church, didn't I? You coming to church is God giving you things so you can live the Christian life. You're not giving God anything when you come to church. This, you're not serving God by being here. You're being obedient. Amen? Well, I gave in the offering. I'll say it again. That's me being obedient. The church is where we give. Let me ask you the question. If you took Ephesians 2:10, God saved you to do a work for Him. What are you doing for God? What are your goals before you die? It starts with something small like this. I'd like to read my Bible through. Good. If you haven't, yeah, I highly suggest you do before you get to heaven. God says, so I gave you a book, I put you on earth, I saved your soul, and you never read it? How'd you like to get to heaven and meet Micah? Hi, Micah. Hey, really? How long you been here? You haven't read about me? Well, your name does sound familiar. You got a lifetime to read it. I highly suggest you read it more than once. It starts out with goals like that. How about this? How many people would you like to see saved before you die? The goals increase. That's a work God wants you to do for Him. How about this? Let me give you another goal. This is you working. This is me working. This is God working through me. He wants to use me. How about this? How many people have you ever invited to church that came? Do you have a goal? I'm not trying to push you so our church can grow. I'm trying to say you were put here to do more than go to church. This is not us working for God. This is us gathering in the meeting, at the pep rally, if that's what you want to call it, at the coach meeting, at the practice, so we can go out and play. Right? This is where we prepare to do the work, but this is not the work. This is a work for those that are involved in the service. Christian, could I just ask you, you were created by God and saved by God to do a work for Him. What are you doing before you die? That determines how much hope you have. Your faith was placed in the Lord when He saved you. But if you don't have any goals and you don't have anything you're doing, there's no hope. Your hope is not in God. Your hope is, well, I'm going to have this house and these cars and then I'm going to have, you know, this much money. And I'm glad, and you ought to set those type of goals. But what are your spiritual goals? If you have no spiritual goals, you have no hope. You have no hope. My testimony is, I'm a volunteer. Soul winning changed my life, and I asked the Lord if He'd let me do it for the rest of my life. I remember learning of, I told you about a powerless Christian, and I prayed all night. in that lonely Marine barracks. I remember when God broke my heart for the lost. I remember the first gospel tract I handed out. I remember begging God for His power. Jesus did say to tarry until you be endued with power from on high. I learned that every Christian ever used of God asked God to fill him and use him, and then I begged God to use me. Look, I don't say that to brag. I'm saying that I honestly think that's supposed to happen in every Christian's life. I didn't say every Christian has to surrender to pastor. I said every Christian, if you've been saved longer than a year, every Christian, I think, is supposed to have the testimony, I can tell you where I was saved, and I can tell you where God broke my heart for souls, and I can tell you where God filled me with His power for the first time. I can tell you where I was when God filled me with His Spirit. That's supposed to, because God wants to work in your life, right? I don't want to be a Christian who lives in the flesh. When I start reading about Psalm, the blessings of hope, Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage, He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Psalm 33, 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Psalm 33, 22, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. I don't want to be a Christian who lives in the flesh. I want to be a Christian who lives my life yielded to the Holy Spirit. Our faith is built and strengthened by the Word of God. As we learn how God worked in other people and used them, then we start living our lives in hope that God will use us. Remember the man that taught me soul winning? He said we would go to street corners and preach, and three men would pass out gospel tracts, and we'd stand up on those old crates, and we would hold up our Bible, just like the newspaper ad. You know, this is going back to the 40s and 50s. Hear ye, the Bible says, all men must be saved by the blood of Jesus. And I'd hear him talking about that. That a few people, he'd said, would stop as they'd give out gospel tracts. And as I heard him talking about what he used to do in the past, he said, my heart burned. And I was like, could God ever use me that way? I've never preached out in public like that. I'd never preached anything. Could God ever use me like that? Now, I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I do know how it's going to work out, and I am on the winning side. I do know that. Amen? Your faith has got to be in God's Word. I said that because it's the only thing that doesn't change. But if I asked, but I can tell how healthy your hope is by what you're expecting God to do in your life. Christian, could I ask you, what are you expecting God to provide for you? What is God going to have to do for you that you know you can't do for yourself? Do you expect God to use you in anybody's life? How is your hope this morning? God says, I want your hope to be in me. God helped them cross their Red Sea. And this morning, I'd like you to know, God will help you cross yours if you hope in Him. If you'll expect in Him. That's why the this sermon helps me, because the shakier the future gets, the more I realize when I get scared, and I do, my flesh is weak. When I start to shake, I start to thinking, Greg Nash, your hope isn't in the right place. Your hope needs to be in God. And you know, every time I put my hope back in God where He wants it to be, I'm strengthened, and you know what? I start thinking, just like I told you, there's nothing I can do about what's going on in the world. I'm not going to change it, but my faith, God says, I want your hope in me. Put your hope back in me. What's going to happen to our church? How can we invite visitors if people are scared to death? God says, hope in me. I brought people to your church before you, BC, I'll bring church people to your church, AC. We had visitors, DC, during COVID, right? I think we had 1, 2, 3, 4. We had, I think there were 5 first-time visitors at our church, DC, during COVID. Well, how's our church going to make it? And people are viewing church now as the enemy, and that's where you go to get sick and all that. God says, put your hope in me. Yeah, I have fears. I have questions. I have plenty to get an ulcer over. God says, knock it off. Your hope is in me. And if anything happens in your life, in your church, in any place, it'll be because I did it and you trusted me to do it. Not because you're so intelligent or you're so brilliant. You're a nothing. You were nothing when I saved you. You're still a nothing. And if anything happens, it's because God says, you let me work. Not because of you. Put your hope back in God. What happens now, you know, here's a question. Should we have children? I think you should. Because God told you to when you get married, if you're able to. Amen? You don't have children because of what's going on in the world. You're supposed to have kids, and just like the Psalm 78 says, pass it on to them. Pass it on. Let your hope be in God. Your hope should be in the Lord. Well, I think one of the most important verses, and then I'm going to close with this, take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 4. John, Acts, Romans, in the New Testament there, John 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things, I'm at Romans 15 verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. See, that's how we see how God works, is in the Bible, right? Look down at verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me just close with this morning. You could be abounding in your hope in God if you would let the Holy Spirit of God fill you. If you would yield to the Holy Spirit, your hope could abound. You say, my hope, what I'm looking forward to God doing, what I know God's going to do, God working in my life, in my family, in my wife, in my church, what I believe God, my hope could abound if I'll yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him fill me. And when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I abound in expecting God to work. And when I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm shaken because of what's going on in the world. I'm terrified. I'm living in terror. What about this? I better do this. God says, knock it off. I want your hope to be in me. And I'm the only thing in your life that won't change. I hope the message this morning helps you that their hope might be in God. Christian, let me close with a question. What are you expecting God to do in your life? Do you have any hope? What are you looking forward to God doing? Do you have any hope in God? What are you hoping the Lord to do? I hope the lesson helps you and encourages you. Let's pray. Father, I don't hope like I should, but Lord, thank you for how you've worked in my life.